Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Randall and Phyllis Beyer, and we're going to kind of look back to the past and some of the things that happened in their lives. And I have to mention that one of the things that got me to want to talk to you is, Randall, I saw an article in a newspaper from, I think, about 1960. So we're going to talk about that, but first of all, good morning to you and welcome to Backyard and Beyond.
Good morning.
And so this article was about your being named the Outstanding Young Farmer of the Year by the JCs. And like I said, I think that was about 1960. And one of the things it said was that you were being this award because of the conservation work you did. So let's talk a little bit about some of that conservation work you did on your farm.
Well, we started out with terraces and planting on the contour and went from there. And then that led to later on improvements in that terracing and structure, the way they were made. I started with a whirlwind plow rented from the soil conservation, and then I purchased a 1/8 36-inch blade that made terraces, and then I started. Then it's when they made them with road graders and made what you call graded terraces, and they graded the water out to the ends or to the waterways, and then the push-ups came, and that's it.
Yeah. So I started out at that point, but you know, you've been farming for a few years, and so I want to go back. What was your first piece of equipment, your first piece of new equipment that you bought when you were beginning farming?
A B. John Deere, 1947 B. John Deere that I got from Capital's Implement.
Yeah, now we don't think about buying John Deere tractors from Capital's, but then that was kind of their major business.
Yeah, they were just getting started here in Atlantic in that type of merchandise.
And sometime along the way, you got a corn planter. How many rows did your corn planter plant?
Two.
It took a few hours to plant a field, didn't it? And as we visited before, you kind of shared that corn planter with some others.
Yes, my father-in-law and my brother-in-law. We started then with a four-row and just gradually moved along.
Yeah, you moved right on up to a four-row. So you're planting corn, two rows, four rows. How much was the bushel of corn worth?
On the market?
Yes.
Well, I would say around a dollar. A lot of the government had a program where I think you could seal it for a dollar a bushel.
Okay, and I sort of backed up in time. So we're probably talking about 1947, 1950 when we're talking those prices?
Yes.
Yeah, so that was at your beginning stage. And so you moved on up from there. So you planted corn. I'm guessing, do you have some beans?
I can't exactly the year that it started in beans, but I remember I had a John Deere pull-type combine, and we combined with that new combine in the beans, and after sold them in town, and my father-in-law come home from taking a load in his truck, and he said, "Do you know how many bushel an acre that made?" I said, "No," because it was my first crop of beans. And he said, 45 bushel an acre. And I knew that was better than corn.
I was going to say, that's right up there, that you did have a really good yield that year.
Yeah.
But like farming is now, the weather always was a challenge for you in the 1950s, maybe more than some years.
Yeah. As I recall, the 1950s was on the dry side most of the time. But since then, we've been pretty good down where we were. Got hailed out 1 year, and I don't know of any other year that we completely lost a crop, but that was a...
Yeah. And where, I should have asked you first, where was your farm located?
5 miles east of Grizzle and 3 south.
Okay, so we're down in that corner of the county. What about, we talked about soybeans, we talked about corn, what about livestock?
Well, we started out with milking cows and raising hogs and raising some calves that the milk cows produced. And then we went from there building different things. Mm-hmm. And it all turned out okay. But we ended up raising cattle and mostly. And I was clear out of the hog business at the end. But
you were big in hog business because you were the superintendent of the swine at the 4-H or at the county fair. And so that, again, that was one of your recognitions along with your church work. And you were the PTA president where?
At Grant Junior High School or elementary school.
Yeah. So you were that all-around guy. And, of course, that's why they were recognizing you along with, I just mentioned Red Faust was the other person that was recognized as a young person in the community. But that's what it takes to get that community going, is for somebody to really step up and do all those kinds of things, which you said you did successfully. Okay, I want to move over to Phyllis for just a few minutes, because kind of when you decided to retire, kind of at that time, you decided to take some trips, but I wouldn't call them luxury trips. They were mission trips. And where was your first one?
Our first one was to Russia. And we went in, I believe, 1995, and with a group of about 12 to 16, I don't remember exactly, and worked at a school for the handicapped in Russia, painting and cleaning it up and doing things that they couldn't do or needed help doing and didn't have supplies to do. We had to buy paint and things that was very scarce, and so that was our first trip.
And, of course, you slept in a luxury hotel.
Well, not quite. We were in one of the classrooms with cots that they said came from a Russian prison. I don't know whether that was just a story they told us, but they kind of felt like that. It may have come from there. And one thing that was unusual, the sun daylight would come up at 3 in the morning in Russia. So that took a little while to get used to.
Yes. And I know you go on those mission trips to work, and that's what you were there for. How well did you get acquainted with some people who were in Russia?
Well, pretty well. At first, they were a little skeptical of us, but by the time we were ready to leave, they were very friendly, and somebody told us, be careful who you invite to come. They just may show up at your doorstep. So their attitude changed, and I hope that did something to improve the whole situation.
Yeah, the relationships between the Russia and United States was not really, really good, so hopefully this did help along. And, of course, you also then did a number of trips to Mexico and one actually in the United States where you helped out in a place in Louisiana?
Yes, in Baldwin, Louisiana. We worked there at a supply depot and we made rolls and rolls of, or packed of mosquito netting and to fill a shipping container from Mississippi, and And we did that 1 year. And, of course, the weather, we were there in February, and the weather was nice. And so that made it more of a vacation. But we were working.
Yeah, you called it a vacation, but it's a working vacation for sure. And I know that lots of people have benefited from the farming for all your community work and for all of your mission trips. We want to thank you very much, Randall and Phyllis Beyer, for visiting with us. And we could talk hours more, but we can't. So until next time, here's a thought. No act of kindness, no matter how small, is never wasted.